him, I called. I called a bartender. I said, look, man, come down here. He got down there. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer. And I ain't seen my baby since I... All right, welcome to Three Drink Minimum, your drinking podcast with a movie problem. Almost messed that one up.
Yeah. Right. Catch you off guard, man.
All right, I'm your host, Steve Krieger.
As always, I'm Tony Aberson. For the first time, we're going to have Mr. Steve Dilbert.
Hello.
Join us as a guest host.
I was told I had to discuss my movie taste, so yeah. I will discuss firstly.
What makes you a movie file?
What gets you out of the theater?
Well, I would say Rocky in this order. 4, 6, 1, 2, 3, not 5. I don't like to discuss that movie, and actually I bought the anthology and I threw the CD out. Any other movie with an actor below 5'6", Rudy movies, things that motivate me.
It's and 5 foot nothing.
Yeah, all heart. I'm very small. I like that he's so little. But
hey, did you see the sign? Completely off topic. Did you see the sign? It was Notre Dame versus Arizona State, the football game like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The one dude at College Game Day had a sign that said Rudy was offsides.
That's true though. Watch that scene.
It was completely like it just ruined. Well, it didn't.
Sean Astin fucked up that whole movie. All day.
He can't walk into mortar. He can't stay on sides.
Those hairy feet.
So now, in keeping with tradition that we're trying to keep up over these episodes, is we have the generational list of movies. For those of you first-time listeners, probably friends of Steve Dilbert here, who won't listen to any of our back catalog.
He believes in the now. He believes in the interstellar. You can't go back in time.
That organ.
That organ, though.
It's a powerful organ.
It's necessary.
So as far as the generational movies go, they're movies that we feel everyone must see, but we're picking movies from our generation. So we're picking 1999 and on, from the age where we could actually appreciate movies.
The first time, not 20 years after the fact.
All right, so Steve, what's the movie that we're going to talk about today?
Gran Torino.
Fuck yes, Gran Torino. Nice. It's the last Clint Eastwood starring movie, I think. Has he starred in a movie since Gran Torino?
Trouble with the Curve?
I think the problem
is... That's right. I forgot about that
It's his last like dramatic action piece.
When you watch that movie and the twitch in his left eye, you can tell he's about to stroke out.
or he currently did.
I remember taking... actually, Steve, why do you like the movie so much?
I love that movie because I saw it with my father, who is a retired detective, and he is incredibly racist. So as I'm watching the movie and they're using terms such as, am I allowed to say gook and spooks?
Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay. Said it's We're not going to edit you.
We don't edit
this. I think it's funny because of how ignorant it is. My dad thinks it's funny because he's blatantly Fox News racist.
Oh, it's just nostalgia for him. It brings him back to his days.
The good
the
old days.
I remember going to see that movie in theaters with my girlfriend at the time, who had never seen a Clint Eastwood movie. And I thought, I've made a terrible mistake, until the first time he goes to his barber. And then she started laughing her ass off and she was on board. And I was like, okay, we made a good choice.
Yeah, I was going to say, if she can't laugh at that, she's not worth continuing dating.
She wasn't worth it for other reasons.
Fucked that up.
We love you, E.
Elizabeth, not the one that I broke up with.
No,
the former guest
host on this show,
the chunky red haired chick.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I
understand. My brother and sister call her Fiona.
Hopefully, she doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, I doubt it. She might.
Everybody needs self esteem issues to work on.
Yeah. You got to have self esteem first.
That's what gets me to the gym, man.
Not you and I. I'm perfect.
Yeah. But holy crap, what a good movie.
I love me.
So for those of you who haven't seen Gran Torino, it's basically racist Clint Eastwood in his old school neighborhood, never wanting to move.
With an M1 Garand.
He fought in the Korean War, I think it was. And then
one of them ones where he's fighting a lot of gooks.
They just wished it was so hard. They wished so hard they could have pushed his age to be in World War II.
Yeah. And then they moved a bunch of zipper heads into his neighborhood. His words, not mine.
Well, I mean, when you put spoilers on your cars, you're pretty much a zipper head.
And, God, there's so many good spots in that movie. Like, it's hard to pick out, like, individual scenes, but the ones that come to mind are the barbershop scenes. And then there's the one scene where the Asian chick is walking home with the white dude who's pretending to be thug, and they get approached by the black guys and almost get killed. And Clint Eastwood does the fake pull the gun out of the jacket, and then the real pull the gun out of the jacket.
I think what's really good about that movie is the fact that the two younger characters, like the brother and sister, aren't actually that strong of characters.
No.
It's really Clint Eastwood and all the other supporting characters carry the whole movie. They actually suck.
Yeah.
But he actually does well enough to carry all of them.
Mm-hmm. And I almost wonder if that was done on purpose, because like they you can tell they've got acting chops, but you can tell they're trying to act a little more Asian and racist.
The part when he's locked into the basement and he's trying to get out, it's just unnatural, it's terrible. You just need to go back to Clint Eastwood being racist. I mean, that's the best part about the movie.
My other favorite scene is when Clint Eastwood knows he's going to go do something to kill himself, and he goes to the church because his late wife always wanted him to give confession. And he says, "Yeah, I'm here to give confession." The priest just goes, "Oh, what did you do?"
Oh, I love it.
And it's basically just an old man drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon on his porch, yelling racist things at people.
He'd be so angry.
It did win a Blue Ribbon.
It did win a Blue Ribbon.
I was going to say, he'd be so angry if you knew how many hipsters drink that shit now.
I know. I mean,
there's nothing American about it anymore. It's just tight jeans and bad haircuts. Well,
they drink it ironically.
And unwieldy
beards. Yep.
Not clean-cut beards.
I got you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve and Tony rocking the beards of this podcast. I wish I could grow one.
This isn't No Shave November. This is 2 days of me not finding a razor.
Steve Dilbert could also pass for the Stanley Tucci Lookalike Awards for 2014.
Seriously, how was working with Emma Stone?
I mean,
I feel like she's a real sweetheart.
She's funny. I also like how she leaves a little bit of that airplane strip on it. That's what really does it for me.
Oh, that's classy.
Eventually, one day when we get Dante on the show for Dante's...
Dante didn't see it?
Dante didn't see it segment. you'll be able to check out his neck, babe. It's kind of become a gag at this point, because when we first started, came up with the idea of the podcast, we told Dante to be on it. He's like a long-term friend of ours.
Yeah.
And he has a lot of great like moments when it comes to discussing movies and stuff like that. But he always, every time we're doing the podcast, he either shows up way, way too drunk, or he's too sober and like kind of chickens out and goes away.
I get you.
So the whole thing we were going to do was we were going to show him a trailer for a movie
that he hadn't seen.
And he was going to give, and he was going to tell us why he
live feedback.
Why he wasn't going to see it.
Okay. That'd actually be kind of fun to do.
Oh, no. His answers are hilarious, but we do these pretty much weekly now. It's become a weekly thing for us to plug Dante's Didn't See It segment and then just never actually show it. So
yeah. We're not editing that out, by the way, so future generations will always just have to go back to this episode to figure out what we're talking about.
So, enough
about Gran Torino. You should have seen it already.
You want to place it real quick?
Oh, yeah. Where are we at in the order?
Okay, well, what we have is we have an order set up.
Okay.
I'll give you a movie, better or worse. And however far it slides down the list, we're sticking
in. So, Gran Torino.
That's fun.
Yeah, you can place this one.
So,
okay.
Gran Torino versus The Dark Knight.
Okay, I've done martial arts since I was 5 years old. I understand The Dark Knight is a great movie. It has great actors, but something about the half-assed kind of kung fu kind of threw me off. All the elbows and shit. I would take, even though he's like 85 or something, I would take Clint Eastwood with an M1 Grand, even with 5 shots, over the other guy with way too many cigarettes in his system. I would have to give this to Gran Torino. I know that's not a popular decision.
As far as our list is concerned now, Gran Torino is the number one on the list.
Pretty funny.
Don't get me wrong.
I actually like doing it this way. This is more fun.
This is a lot more fun for us because
I appreciate how well Heath Ledger did the Joker. I didn't think you could go from, you know, A Knight's Tale to The Dark Knight. Yeah. So I was impressed. But I don't know, something about Christian Bale's smoker voice threw me off.
Just so you can know the rest of the list.
Yeah. I'll keep going with Step Brothers.
Ooh, Step Brothers better than Gran Torino. I mean, it's a great movie, but I don't know if, you know, humping a housewife who's neglected is better than Clint Eastwood's acting. So I have to still give it to Gran Torino.
Okay. V for Vendetta.
Ah, I love V for Vendetta. That's got to be above Gran Torino. I love, what's that actor's name?
Hugo Weaving?
Oh, Hugo Weaving gets me sexually.
I don't know how you can be V, Agent, Mr. Smith.
Agent Smith and Elrond.
Elrond from frickin' Lord of the Rings and not be a household name anywhere.
Like, right?
People have to look him up. Well, who's that guy? Oh, Hugo Weaving.
Mm. He was also the inspector in the werewolf movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going to bring up three gems and you just drop the turd right on the
And Benicio Del Toro was the werewolf.
And so the other two, if you say that V for Vendetta is better, the other two were Gone in 60 Seconds.
I still got to give it to V for Vendetta for that one.
And then The Matrix.
Oh, dude, I love the original Matrix.
Yeah, it's original Matrix.
Great movie. Yeah, I mean, no, they fuck it up with the last two.
When we say one movie and there's like two others, we're only talking about the singular.
I have to give it to The Matrix just because there was a woman who actually tried to kill herself because she thought The Matrix was real. I love that movie was...
All right, we will revisit that when we do Avatar.
I'd have to say The Matrix.
Oh, you know that's not even on our list of like ones we were considering.
It should be on there. Well, visually appealing alone.
If a movie's good enough.
I enjoy Pocahontas as much as the next guy.
So. I enjoy Ferngully as much as the next guy.
I just like her ethnicity. It turns me off.
How Zoe Saldana's played everything but black in every movie.
Ever since I saw an Avatar, like she's in every movie. It's crazy. I'm okay with it.
Okay.
So that brings us to the meat.
So we're
going to
move on to the bulk of our discussion for the evening.
Today's episode is overrated and underrated movies.
Which is one of our favorite bar categories, simply because usually when you get in a discussion in a bar, if you don't know the person's like stylings as far as movies, you tend to get at wits with some certain movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know, do you just want to dive right in? Okay.
Well, we teased one on the last episode, so we have to start with that one.
Okay.
All right, so our overrated movie that we teased last episode was Boondock Saints.
Boondock Saints, yes.
Oh, why is this overrated? Here's
the deal.
Okay.
Overrated movie does not mean it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
We're saying this is a movie.
The hype level around it, I think, exceeds its actual, like...
See, because I think this is overrated for the people that, like, want Christianity to be cool. So they think it's awesome that they go out and like murder Russian mobsters
and they do like the Catholic prayers and stuff like that. Okay,
yeah,
I'll give you that. But like what I'm saying is like it's not a bad movie by any stretch.
Uh-huh.
But the hype for the movie overshadows. Like you hear people talk about Boondock Saints all the time, but no one can actually tell you why it's a good movie.
I get what you're saying, but when it originally came out, it wasn't that.
It doesn't hold up.
It's a cult classic.
If you ask someone, "Oh, do you like Boondock Saints?"
Yeah,
like universally, people, "Oh yeah, Boondock Saints, fucking love it."
That's true. I have Veritas Equitas on my fingers.
I watched it for the very first time. I watched it with nobody else. I was just at my home by myself, and I finished it, and I was like, I mean, there's a lot of really good spots in it. But what the hell was everybody so hyped about? Like kids in high school.
I think what it was is when I originally saw it, I was Christian. I'm not now, but I wanted Jesus to have some huevos, some balls, and I wanted him to like kill some people, and that was like the movie I needed.
You think it's just because they knew he was going to become Meryl?
Daryl. No, I don't think that.
No. Preemptive sexiness.
See, like I like Boondock Saints, I really do. But like for every good scene, like the shooting the cat scene, like there's a lot of like
it's pretty cliche.
My favorite scene in the movie, hands down, is when Willem Dafoe's in bed with the Asian guy on the phone, and the Asian guy keeps trying to cuddle with him, and he calls him a fag. Yeah, like that's, I don't know what it is. That scene gets me every time. Like, that's funny. Like
the first thing I'd ever seen Willem Dafoe in before I seen that movie was Antichrist. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that fucked me up.
So it wasn't Speed 2?
No. Okay. It was him getting his dick smashed by a 2x4.
Okay. it's one of those things where, like, I understand Boondock Saints is a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And especially, like, that director has only done, like, three movies.
And it may just be, like, a generational thing, but it's our generation that, like, especially hipster.
I think what happened
especially when Boondocks 2 came out.
Boondocks 2
was like,
so
everybody
bad.
Came out of the woodworks and was
I've never seen it. Was it any good?
Don't. It's
All Saints Day?
Was the first one.
It is the worst.
But... And the fact that I can say that Boondock Saints is an incredibly overrated movie, but still say that the second one ruins the first one tells you how bad the second one is.
That's true. Because
I liked it for... I sit here and go, I think all the movies that could have become, like, cult classics, I see the appeal of it, but I don't understand, like, the fanatical devotion.
I think people just like the fact that they have a reason to kill.
Yeah, well, here's
it goes higher than Vigilante.
My theory for why Boondock Saints took off the way it did is it's a cult classic in the same sense of, like, the Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez, like, ultra-violent movies.
Yeah.
And it was that underground hit of those.
And you can quote the thing they say before they shoot people.
That is a big deal. You gotta have those one-liners.
And Billy Connolly's great as, like, their dad or whatever he's
Rocco?
Supposed to be.
Is that who he's...
No,
he is?
Billy Connolly's the guy
oh,
who
the,
like,
that guy? Who's the bartender? The guy
The guy who plays Rocco
and
the bartender.
He's the guy with the six guns on him. Gotcha.
You see what I mean? Like, it's that hard of a movie.
Yeah, it really is. They all just kind of Italian.
It's like, try and watch it now compared to movies that have come out since. And it doesn't hold
that's
up
true.
Well.
It was one of those movies that kind of like The Matrix. Like, if The Matrix had come out today, we'd be like, oh yeah, bullet time.
But if you think about it, it did a lot of
cool stuff that was, like, kind of before its time. So a lot of people...
The U.S. is still mostly religious, though. I mean, they want their god to be badass. So that's why, like, Constantine does well, and that's why...
There's a Kirk Cameron movie that just came out about him, like, kicking people into the apocalypse.
You want Jesus to be badass. That's just what people want.
But Jesus would not use Kirk
Exactly.
Cameron.
he wouldn't do any of that shit, but they want that. I want Jesus with silenced pistols because it's fucking sweet.
we can go circles around this. Like, basically, my
brothers, look upon me and know me.
For Jesus is packing.
the movie's good. Like, it's just, it's a movie that you should watch one time and be like, okay, I saw it.
I've just heard way too many people try so hard to tell me it's the greatest thing they've ever seen.
Yeah, that's more what we're
getting. Yeah, that's
true.
I
just go, ugh, stop.
And that's,
I don't need a Celtic cross tattoo.
Yeah. I've seen the damn movie. Yes.
The rest of this list is in that vein, as far as, like, my list of movies goes.
Ooh, fun.
So my next movie that people told me is... that you have to see and is amazing, and I watched it and thought it was complete, total dog shit.
Can I guess?
Uh-huh.
Can I guess? Napoleon Dynamite?
That wasn't what I was going for, but yeah.
No, it's on the list? Okay.
It's on the list. Okay. The one I was going for was Donnie Darko.
Whoa. You like Donnie Darko?
I don't like Donnie Darko.
For what reasons?
It doesn't make any sense.
It does make sense.
What's the cellar door thing about then?
The who?
There's a whole spot at the end when Drew Barrymore has, like, cellar door written across. And all I'm saying is Donnie Darko is pretentious as fuck. It's not a bad movie. It's just uber pretentious.
It depends on who you talk to. I mean, it's so old.
Most people
I talk to are fucking pretentious.
Most people who...
To be fair, Patrick Swayze is a pedophile. Great casting choice.
I will admit, I do like watching movies that require me to Google the story afterwards. And that was one of them.
I'm so indifferent on movies that I have to Google the story. If I enjoy the movie and I Google the story afterwards, I enjoy the movie. But if I don't enjoy the movie and I Google the story to make me enjoy it, I don't enjoy the movie.
I can't remember the cellar door thing, but...
There's a spot at the end...
I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to think
where,
of...
Like, it's written on context. Like the classroom door. Yeah. Like, written on the classroom chalkboard. Drew Barrymore says, like, some author said cellar door is the most beautiful words ever written. And the only thing that comes of it is, like, at the end they have to go through a cellar door. And, like, there's no real symbolism behind it. There's no, like... Oh, your answers lie behind
the cellar door. They could have had such a better plot device.
Yeah, they set up all these kind of things and then don't do anything with it. It's the weakest time travel movie out there, and I've seen Looper.
Yeah, but this came out years before Looper.
I'm saying it's a weak time travel movie.
I guess.
That's also why I brought you on for this episode. I wanted some dissenting opinions on some things.
Well, here, since he's dissented both years, what's an overrated movie for you? Have you thought of one?
Overrated. I'll have to think about it throughout. You go to your next one.
Okay. Well, the next one, since Tony brought Napoleon Dynamite.
Nah, come on.
And no, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm saying the hype around
it. I will admit it did
have a lot of hype on it. I'm saying that the only reason it's a cult classic and the reason it became popular is because of one lines of dialogue that kids in my high school.
You could say that about every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, though.
To a point. But
to be fair, Schwarzenegger would have like eight lines in a movie.
of which seven are classics.
John Heder had like 25 lines and then got repeated.
I just didn't understand how people grasped onto it so tightly. Like, I don't know. Like,
I think it's a comedy that...
I was an awkward kid in high school.
I think everybody knows that weird kid that was kind of like that.
Well, I was awkward in high school, and I watched this movie going, I feel like they're trying to appeal to me, like, in what I thought was my awkwardness. But, I'm just sitting here going, that's not what it was like at all.
I think my problem with Napoleon Dynamite is it's a fine comedy. It's just, it would have done better coming out as a cult classic. Like, it should have been more of a passed around, like, here's what you need to know. But
it came out as, like, a big blockbuster.
It came out as a huge movie, and everybody in our school knew every line before it hit DVD.
Yeah. See, what I like about it is it allows me to connect with any girl instantly. If you like Napoleon Dynamite, and I know the Bengals suck. There's, like, a few things that are always constant throughout. I know every Napoleon Dynamite line. I can talk about every girl.
You relax.
Yeah, they did win.
Yeah, but they almost probably threw it.
They give it their best.
And like I said, Napoleon Dynamite, it's a fine movie. I just think it's overly loved.
I think if you compare that to some other comedies, like, you would go, this is a far superior comedy, but nobody gives a shit about it. But you ask Napoleon Dynamite, and they can quote the whole damn thing.
If I just caught that ball out of Gone State.
Yeah.
So you want to see me throwing a ball over there in their mountains?
So what you're saying, like, if Napoleon Dynamite had been given, like, the Clue treatment, it'd be a much better movie.
What we're saying
movie.
Is Uncle well, Rico yeah. should have
like,
had
ask,
that movie.
Ask anybody who knows a quote from Napoleon Dynamite if they've ever watched Clue. And if they haven't, slap them in the face. Because Clue, like, the level of jokes and, like, satire and communism being a red herring the whole time. Like, you know, just, like, shit like that is, like, it... That movie's
not, that's not on my overrated list, only for how often it was on Comedy Central.
And the fact that it's on Netflix, and I probably watch it about once a month. Just
I own a copy of it just because. All right. So let's see. Okay. I got one that's probably going to piss Dilbert off a lot.
Oh, probably.
Anything different than usual?
Yeah. Fight Club.
And you know, I'm not too...
I'm
crazy about
Fight Club. Like I'm saying, it's overrated. It's not a bad movie.
It's kind of like how nobody really cared about anything about The Sixth Sense once you got over the initial shock of the ending.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you go, like, Sixth Sense, everybody was all about it. Like, oh my god, the ending, blah, blah, blah. You ever want to get... You know what's the worst thing to yell in a movie theater? It's not fire.
It's Bruce Willis as a ghost.
I just hate Edward Norton. I mean, I know he's done some of these. I hate Edward Norton.
I see that.
I'll give you
the movie he was in with Hulk. Did you ever see that one?
The Incredible Hulk?
It was a fucking terrible movie.
It's the worst... It's the... Well,
the worst Hulk they probably came out with.
No, it's not
Hulk.
Whoa, Lou Ferrigno is a national treasure.
We mean the Eric Bana one.
Oh, that makes sense.
Lou Ferrigno is a national treasure.
You were asking Eric Bana to... Or you were asking Edward Norton to do better than the Eric Bana Hulk? There was literally no seller to that.
All right, I'll give you that. I just don't like Edward Norton as an actor.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. But, like, with Fight Club, it's one of those movies that, like, it's good upon its initial viewing.
You know what I just realized? Every one of these movies are just, like, the movies that the pretentious assholes we went to high school with love.
Hey, where do you think I got this list from?
Because I literally just remember...
Hey, guys, what movies do you love?
I literally just remember every one of these movies we talked about and, like, just listen to the people. Like, I'm thinking about the faces of the people that love them when we went to high school with, and I'm like, it's a terrible movie.
There's a second one coming out, right?
Of what?
Fight Club?
There couldn't be. There's no...
I thought they said there was a second one coming
out. I'm sure it's a completely separate...
Research that. We never fact-check anything on this podcast.
I mean, Steve's black for crying out loud.
Yeah, I'm pretty black.
And nobody will ever fact-check that he's actually white. So
very black.
Quit doing the Google work for people.
Quite
today. My thing with Fight Club is, like, it's cool to watch the first time. Then, like, the second time or third time to watch again to catch all the little stuff. But then after that, like, once you've seen it all and you kind of know it's all coming.
It's cool to watch the first time because you get the big reveal that Edward Norton and Brad Pitt are the same person. Or that Edward Norton doesn't exist, it's just Brad Pitt.
So you're saying it's like a Shyamalan movie.
It's very much a twist.
Yes. But then you watch it again and you enjoy it because you get to watch the whole thing knowing the twist. Yeah. But then it's completely lost.
I get you. Fight Club 2 is coming out in 2015.
That's gonna be terrible.
Fight Club.
Hell yeah.
Do you think they'll get even more product placement for a movie that's anti corporations?
Can we talk about product placement? Because I want to talk about iRobot.
Dang, oh,
yes. I've never wanted to buy Chuck's more in my life. Jesus.
The drinking game we play.
Can we buy some Chucks?
The
drink, goddamn.
The drinking game for iRobot.
Hold on, let me turn down
is...
my Sony speakers.
No, it's JVC, bro.
Hey, by the way, we watched Interstellar today. Did you want to buy a Carhartt jacket? Yeah. Fuck, that looked beautiful.
No, the drinking game for iRobot is you watch it and you drink every time there's product placement.
Oh my god.
Damn it, you won't make it through that damn movie.
That's like the drinking game we
have.
Well,
I mean,
watch,
how else would you want
you
to watch?
You watch Hell's Kitchen, every time he says it's rubbish. Oh, what the hell was it? Oh, you've lost your passion? You drink for that one as well?
No, would you ever want to get through iRobot sober?
No.
So, yeah, the drinking game makes a lot of sense.
I have yet to find a Shia LaBeouf movie I want to get through sober.
And he was only in that for like 3 scenes, too.
And they kept saying like he was cursing, but all he said was like, what the hell?
No, he said shit.
Did he say shit once?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once, yeah. Mm. Stop cursing and go home.
Edgy.
It. But like the funny thing is he wasn't bad in that movie.
He was in iRobot?
Yeah, weird. He was that.
He's
little,
like the weird white kid that Will Smith was like.
Oh yeah.
Hey, cool. Throws in the ball.
I'm cool like black.
But it had the fat black guy from Gone in 60 Seconds in it. So.
Donnie
Astricky.
Yeah.
Now, like it had like that movie had decent points to it, but just like the moment you open the door and there's a fucking FedEx bot, like another on time package.
Yeah.
FedEx. I was like, damn it, put your Chucks.
Well, the guy actually asked him. He goes, "What kind of shoes you got? Those are really nice." And he goes, "These are Chucks Limited Edition."
Oh yeah. They're vintage, 2009 or like 2004.
Look, nobody wanted to fund the movie, so they went to everyone else.
And I have that pair of shoes. I've never gotten laid wearing that pair of shoes. What's up with that? And I'm black. White bitches love me.
All right, so the last overrated movie. Well, I guess we can add iRobot to overrated movies.
No, that doesn't.
We've said
overrated.
Enough though about iRobot. Yeah. It is overrated.
All right, so for the last overrated movie I want to bring up, and I am willing to back down a little bit on this one because I've been fierce on this movie before, and I'm willing to say that it's a product of its time.
Okay.
But I fucking hate this movie, Scarface.
I've never been a fan of Scarface.
Now, Dilbert, as a self-proclaimed black man.
As a black person, I love the fact that he works his way up from nothing to money to bitches and cocaine.
Honestly, the funniest thing about... Does he have bitches, though?
Like, he's got bitches.
He's got
a coke whore with a polluted
I was going to say, he's got so much swag, so much money, that he literally doesn't need bitches.
He just has sex with
giant piles of cocaine and money. Which I would fuck if I had enough.
Yeah, and like, so we're supposed to follow this gangster dude until like the one time where he's like, man, you didn't say nothing about no kids, man. And then like we're supposed to somewhat
guy. That movie actually had some really cool scenes, but the scenes that most people recognize or the scenes that made it like infamous or the shit that made it infamous are not those scenes. Like, set the record in like Hollywood for most F-bombs in an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
The chainsaw scene where the dude gets his freaking arm chopped off. Like,
let's be honest, they offer the best 2XL shirts you can buy.
Yeah, the knee-length Scarface t-shirts are...
And it's a quintessential poster. You need that poster.
Someone on your floor has to have the
Scarface poster. No, Scarface.
That's the guy who drops out.
My favorite line about Scarface is from comedian John Mulaney, who says, like, I don't know if you've seen Scarface, but people like to lump it in with good movies like The Godfather, which is like saying, like people all the time will say, like, I love good movies like Godfather and Scarface. It's like, oh yeah, I love good food like lobster and Skittles. It's like, I don't know if you've seen Scarface, but it ends pretty badly for the titular villain. He winds up shot in the back in a mansion that looks like it was bought by, like, the Golden Girls won the lottery.
Let's be honest, though. I'm going to die, like, 85 in a nursing home. I would rather die getting shot on a pile of cocaine.
We're not saying that he did it wrong with how he lived his life. What we're saying is...
I understand you guys, but I'm black.
I just...
It's every black person's dream to die on a pile of cocaine. So,
black man drinking hard cider right now.
Hey, now, this is Hennessy.
It's Hennessy cider, bitch.
I got Henny.
but no, yeah,
it's I don't know. So like, honestly, the overrated aspect of it comes simply from how some people absolutely freaking diehard love the movie.
Yeah.
Every episode of Cribs. I think it was actually a requirement in the contract. Like, if we're coming into your house, you have to have a Scarface frame poster with, like, a set prop.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, I got three bullets and a cigar, and I've got Scarface playing 24/7 on the DVD.
That is
burnt into my Blu-ray.
That's not a joke. That was an actual
episode. Couch cushions, I got TVs underneath it.
Yep.
That was an actual episode. The dude's like, yeah, Scarface 24/7. And I was like, who wants that?
It's like I'm trying to sleep.
It's like Al Pacino's like fifth best movie.
Yeah, easily.
I just want to discuss that Charlie Day played the best Al Pacino I've ever seen.
Yeah. Oh, it's Serpico.
I love when he leaves the tape on the stage.
Yeah. With the mayor.
For the mayor, M-A-R-E.
Oh. Oh my goodness. Okay. Right.
But yeah, so yeah, I guess enough said about Scarface.
Yeah, probably.
It's a terrible.
We don't.
The say goodnight to the bad man speech is pretty good, but.
So you make the way the bad guy.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. It's not short of like actually like some cool scenes. Like,
yeah.
I enjoy like a lot of the one liners from the movie and like a few of the scenes, but overall it's just. Eh.
And I had a small run in with crack, so I kind of understand it.
Yeah, being black, I understand that.
Oh, okay, let's go there.
You just got out of the big hit, the big house?
Well, I mean, if there's one thing I like, it's crack and white women.
Gotta get some of that white girl. That's street for cocaine.
That's got the yay on me.
All right, so now that's get away from the underrated or the overrated movies.
Let's stop shitting on movies. We didn't make this podcast to shit on movies. We made it to talk up good movies.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
All right, so I've broken down into certain genres of underrated movies. Now, to be fair, a lot of these movies are going to get their own podcast episode eventually.
They will.
So we're not going to spend too terrible much time on them, but...
Some more than others.
Yeah. So what genre do you guys want to start with? Just pick one.
Zilbert, it's your call.
Action.
All right. That
always
was,
first.
Yeah, it's where you want
it. It's alphabetical. It's great. It's nice.
Yep.
All right, so for me, I have three movies under the action. They're all actually relatively recent movies for underrated.
Okay.
One of them I picked solely because the trailer was so terrible and completely misled what the movie was about, and the movie wound up actually being really good, and that was Killer Elite.
I had never seen it.
Okay, so it stars Jason Statham, Robert De Niro, and Clive Owen.
We've actually already talked about Killer Elite.
A little bit about it. Sounds really good. Okay, so the trailer makes it look like Clive Owen kidnaps Robert De Niro, who's Jason Statham's father, and Statham has to try and like fight to get him back. Huh. That's what the trailer looks like. And the trailer's fucking awful.
Yeah.
What the movie's actually about is Statham and De Niro are part of a CIA black ops team back in the 80s, and this is all based on like a true story.
Wait a minute. I have seen this movie.
It was on Netflix for a little while. Yeah. And De Niro gets captured after they all quit after a job. Yeah. And then the Sudan people who have De Niro captive hire Jason Statham to kill like these like eight British SAS soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And they all have to look like accidents, but he has to send proof that he killed them.
Yeah.
So it's him tracking down like all these guys and killing them in these really cool ways so that nobody thinks that they've been murdered. And Clive Owen is, like, slightly onto their case, but not really.
Mm.
Like, just, it's a really cool movie.
Completely not what the trailer.
Yeah. I remember watching it on Netflix one day, and it popped up. I was at work. I just put in my 2 weeks' notice, so I wasn't doing any real work. So
You're like, fuck.
Yeah, so I decided to watch a movie, and that popped up. I'm like, oh, I'll give this a shot. And I didn't get any work done for 2 hours because I was engrossed in this awesome movie.
Wow.
All right, the next one, which I think we've also mentioned, is a guilty pleasure of mine. Drive Angry, starring Nicolas Cage.
Oh, God, the one true God.
Have you guys seen Drive Angry?
I have not.
Okay, so the premise of Drive Angry is...
The beauty of Nicolas Cage is that you fucking love it.
Is it Nicolas Cage driving angry?
Yes, but do you want to know why he's driving
yes,
angry?
Yes, I'd love to know.
Okay, so a satanic cult kidnaps Nicolas Cage's daughter.
See, I did not expect that to come up.
So a satanic cult kidnaps Nicolas Cage's daughter.
Understandable.
No, I'm sorry. His granddaughter. They kill his daughter. Yeah. Take his granddaughter.
Who's apparently Nicolas Cage is old enough to have a smoking hot granddaughter.
Well, he's been around since like 1600. We all know this.
Well, that's the other thing. Is the reason Nick Cage is also driving angry is he has broken out of hell because he's dead.
Oh!
To chase down the satanic cult.
Understandable.
Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
So then William Fichtner, the bank teller from Dark Knight and all that. Yeah. He plays hell's... like, I guess, accountant is what he refers to himself as. Mm. He's in charge of tracking people down who break out of hell. And so he's on Nicolas Cage's tail trying to get...
So they obviously have enough of a problem
to hire a full-time person. Yes. It's kind of a...
it is one of the most fun movies you'll ever watch. Because it's a car chase movie where Nicolas Cage...
doesn't take itself too serious.
Yeah, no, it knows what it's about. Yes. And Nicolas Cage even knows what the movie's about.
Now, is Nicolas Cage still John Travolta in this movie, or was that... Like...
we haven't determined that.
I was just going to say that earlier, because Nicolas Cage...
I'm still confused about that.
Nicolas Cage is an anomaly, because as an actor, I can simultaneously hate and love everything he's ever done.
Well, you're hating John Travolta. We have to understand that movie was not fiction.
Yeah.
No, what is it we were talking about with Face Off? It was watching two over actors trying to act as two people overacting each other as acting as each other.
That scene deserved an Oscar.
Well, that was the ending of Inception. Yeah.
Well, you remember the scene from Hairspray where John Travolta yells, "Not the bees!" Not the bees.
And that's our first Hairspray reference. just a few weeks ahead of
our musical podcast.
Ooh, that'll with Steve's be fun. Sister, yes.
Yeah.
All right, so Drive Angry, go see it. I can't tell you anymore without ruining how awesome that movie is.
Because the plot is very limited.
There's plenty of boobs and shooting. It's great.
That's always a plus.
All right.
A lot of women
so are gonna go out this see. Last year, there were two different Assault on the White House movies.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I'm assuming you're going to not say Jamie Foxx was the right one?
Correct. I believe
one of those was actually good?
Olympus Has Fallen was actually a pretty decent movie.
With Morgan Freeman?
Really?
Yeah.
They both look like trash.
All right, well,
look like trash, That's why it's an underrated movie.
Both movies were Die Hard in the White House. The difference was...
Channing Tatum versus Gerard Butler.
Yeah, Olympus Has Fallen took a better route of... All right, so... The Jamie Foxx one had more money for set pieces. So they built a lot more of like what looked like the White House.
Yeah.
And they also made it slightly more of a comedy where it's like, I'm Channing Tatum and I'm qualified for the job, but not really. And
I'm Jamie Foxx.
In both of them, though, the president's black.
No. In Olympus Has Fallen, Aaron Eckert's the president.
Freeman's like head of...
He's the vice president who gets appointed president.
Aaron Eckert's basically half black.
Yeah.
He's only after a terrible accident, though.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Your words, not mine.
So both of them follow basically the same premise of the White House is taken captive. The big difference is White House Down took a more comedic route. And
which is interesting.
Yeah, because like they made more jokes.
It's not a funny situation, you know what I mean?
They made more jokes about it. Like there's a lot of spots where like Channing Tatum would be going up and he's like, I don't want to go in there, I don't want to go there, I'm going in there, like that kind of dumb joke. Mm. And it was like he's former Army trying to get a job in the Secret Service. And so he goes directly to the White House for a...
That's like what a crazy person would do. Yes. Like, I'm going to take my resume to the president.
And so while he's there, the daughter takes a tour and she gets caught in the middle of the terrorist invasion.
And this wouldn't be as bad, but I've seen...
No, the daughter's like a real little girl, so no, she's not technically
hot. Well, I mean...
She will be, eventually.
The problem is I've seen 21 Jump Street, and I know that Channing Tatum actually can be funny.
Oh.
So it doesn't work at all in this movie. Like, every time it doesn't work, you go, well, who the fuck's fault is this? Because Channing Tatum actually can do funny shit.
He needs Jonah Hill to bounce him out.
Whereas the Olympus Has Fallen, they have less money for sets, but they put it more into the action pieces. Where the general premise is Gerard Butler used to be on the president's security detail.
Yeah.
There's a car crash that when they're leaving Camp David.
Mm-hmm.
It's the middle of winter. They're leaving Camp David. A big branch falls on the middle of this bridge, hits the president's car, it spins out, dangles over a bridge. Gerard Butler can only save either the president or the first lady. He grabs the president, goes back to the first lady, doesn't get to her in time, the car falls, she dies.
Hmm.
So he gets kicked off the security detail because the president's like, well, he reminds me too much of that night. So
pretty much that iRobot thing, like, he should have saved the girl.
Yeah. One of those, but they don't dwell on it that much. Like, everyone knows he did his job. So he's still working for the Secret Service, but he's in the building across the street working counterfeit money, which is another thing the Secret Service does.
Oh, yeah.
Another reason why I actually like this movie, because they do the Treasury stuff a little bit as well. Just mention it, not a whole big deal on it, but the White House gets attacked when, like, there's, like, North or South Korean diplomats coming in to try and work out a peace treaty.
Really?
And so there's this awesome set piece where they have this giant jumbo freighter filled with guns, like, just tearing up the White House lawn.
Yeah.
And when they shoot that down, a bunch of people take the lawn.
C-130.
And it's this big, brutal gunfight on the White House lawn that takes, like, 25 minutes to get through.
Yeah.
And then it's them working through the house, and Gerard Butler sees it from across the street, and he runs across. And it's really him, like, pulling magazines off dead people and finding armor where he can. Like, it's him actually, like, finding shit around him to work with.
It kind of makes sense.
No, it really does.
Channing Tatum, Gerard Butler, and the real difference is, like, Gerard Butler is if you took a hot guy and then added Ron Swanson's personality to him.
Yes.
And added gritty.
It's much more rugged, yeah.
And, like, and there is some comedy to it. Like, he does have a couple quips here and there.
But he does get killed by a dragon and,
Wait, in the same movie? Can you explain how that comes about?
But he does get killed by a dragon in Rain of Fire, so I can't say he's the most...
Oh, that's a shit movie.
He also gets killed by a dragon in House
of Dragons. No, that is not a shit movie. That movie's fucking awesome.
Any movie that the dragon is not Sean Connery is a shit movie. We can all agree to this. All
right. Agreed. I'll take Rain of Fire off the list.
I can't even.
That's the only curse word he can say that has an S.A.
Christian Bale, Matthew McConaughey as a, like, a surfer marine somehow, and Gerard Butler, like, I can't even describe that movie right now. I can't even talk about it. All right,
so you'll just find
some dragons.
Yeah, so Olympus Has Fallen, definitely worth checking out. I saw it in theaters because it was a slow weekend.
That must have been super slow.
Yeah, right.
I remember going to see it, just like, yeah, why don't we check it out? And loved it.
I'll never pay $10 on a hunch.
There's another movie.
I'll barely pay $10 if the dealer has a 5-up.
Exactly. That's how I saw that movie, The Number 4, whatever the hell it was.
Which one?
The Number 4 was about, like, Vampire Twilight something. I don't know. Never mind.
Oh, I Am
You know what I'm saying? I Am Number 4?
Yeah.
God damn it. That was a terrible movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Man, my gay
I don't
friend,
even think I've even heard of it.
My gay friend wanted
are you
to
guys,
go
Are you guys ready to move on to comedies?
Yeah, just move on down the line.
More of an older comedy, and I know I said that Clue was taken off because it was on Comedy Central all the time, and this one's on Comedy Central all the time. Used to be. Brewster's Millions.
Oh, hell yeah. Great movie.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Fucking great. Richard Pryor, John Candy. He's given, what, several million dollars?
And he has to spend it within a certain amount of time to get more.
To actually get the money. Yeah. Enough said about that. Go see that movie.
Yes. That's pretty much all you have to say.
Okay. Another one.
There are a lot of movies with Richard Pryor that I really feel are underrated.
Oh, yeah.
See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
That's a great movie.
With Gene Wilder.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor together.
One's blind, one's deaf.
Same joke, the whole fucking movie. But it's still funny every time.
Stop your feet. I'll follow the sound. He's just walking down the street. I feel ridiculous. And blind Richard Pryor's like, you look fine to me. That's the entire movie in one scene. But
exactly.
it just works the whole time because they're both fucking great.
Stir Crazy, also great.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Alright, so another underrated comedy, and this is probably one of my all-time favorite movies, let alone all-time favorite comedies, and that is Airheads.
Oh, really? I forgot we were going to talk about this tonight.
I don't like Airheads.
What? You like Airheads? What's wrong with Airheads?
You got a problem with Steve Buscemi, Adam Sandler, and Brendan Fraser having flawless comedy
Can I
chemistry?
Say, I can't focus on any scene that Steve Buscemi's in, because his eyes just make me uncomfortable.
Alright, that's valid.
Do you know
that
what I'm
is
saying?
That's a valid point.
That's a valid argument.
But that movie as a whole, you got Winston from Ghostbusters.
Yeah, you have Egon from Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
There's a strong sex offender vibe that I just can't get past.
Yeah. Okay. So apparently, Boardwalk Empire is not one of your shows on your.
No, list. I watch it, but I think about him being a sex offender while he's doing his original role.
I just love the idea of a band breaking into a radio station just so they can get their single played, so they can possibly get.
It does definitely show the times. I mean, yeah, it wouldn't happen now.
It's definitely hardcore, like early '90s, but.
I didn't like the '90s.
Chris Farley's got a great spot in it.
Chris Farley's got a couple great roles. I don't know. Like the story was good. The way that all the actors and actresses like worked together,
yep.
I fucking love. I don't know. Like I went and bought the movie like 10 years after it came out, just because I watched it like once at a friend's house, and like I'd seen it years before, but I was like,
yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's like a decade later that I like it so much more, but yeah. Everything about
it grew
this
on you.
Kramer's in it.
Yeah.
Judd Nelson is one of the bad guys.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I mean, no, it's a great cast. Lemmy from Motorhead makes an appearance.
Fucking uh-huh. Lemmy.
Who'd win in a fight? Who'd win Lemmy a wrestling match God. Between Lemmy and God? Lemmy, no. God.
He's a cop.
True question. Lemmy is God.
Whose side you take?
On the big Van Halen split.
Van Halen or Dave Lee Roth?
Van Halen. He's a cop.
No, it's debatable. They made a lot of good albums.
They sold a lot of records. And then the last comedy that I want to bring up, and this is a special edition one, because if you find just the regular version of it, it's not as good.
Huh.
So you need the R-rated version of Saving Silverman.
Yes.
Really? I don't think I've ever seen the R-rated version. I've seen the one on TV.
The R-rated one is just like every joke you could tell they wanted to make, but couldn't. And so it's like, there's a couple different, like, when they're in prison and they call the coach to try and get them out, in the regular one they say, they're making us wear dresses in here. In the
R-rated one, he's like,
they're making us their girlfriends. And he's like, they're cornholing you!
Don't worry, boys! Yeah,
maybe I need to see that then.
I've got it, you can borrow it.
Coach shows up at the house and he's like, what'd you do with the girlfriend situation?
We ate her.
Perfect crime, guys. No evidence. shit like that. That movie's freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, that's just.
I don't even know if that's really the whole underrated thing, because. Actually, probably.
Yeah, I'm just. Because the R-rated one nobody knows about. That's why I'm saying it's underrated.
Exactly.
God, Saving Silverman.
And it's just
fucking
great, great even premise. It's a guy falls in love with girl, friends hate girl, try and get guy to leave girl by kidnapping girl and faking her death.
I was going to say, every one of us has tried to do it.
Yeah. Well, I remember in college, we made the sign for Brandon Taylor when he was dating that one girl. Yeah.
Usually it's our own death we try to fake and bounce. But, you know, they took it in a new crazy direction.
Way out. All
right. You guys want to do comic book, Western, drama, sci-fi, Western. Horror, or thriller?
I want to hear Western.
Western would be fun.
Western? Okay.
Oh, I know exactly which one you're going to do.
Okay, my Western pick is The Quick and the Dead.
Yes!
Never seen it?
Okay, it's a Sam Raimi movie.
Gene Hackman.
Early Sam Raimi.
Gene Hackman, young Leo DiCaprio.
Huh.
Sharon Stone.
Sharon Stone.
Wow.
What's his name? Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe's in it. This is like mid-90s.
Huh.
Basically, the premise is it's a small town. Oh, also the guy who plays Jigsaw. He's the early death.
It's a town in the Old West where they have I don't even know if it's annual.
It's an annual
gun. Or is it generational?
It's an annual tournament.
An annual tournament of quick shots, like
quick draw.
The best quick draws show up, and it's, you know, basically just giant tournament, and
Gene Hackman. Awesome. Gene Hackman runs the town corruptly. He's the fastest gun in the West.
Yeah.
He's basically taken over place. Leonardo DiCaprio may be his son.
Possibly. Sharon Stone is a former.
She's the daughter of one of Gene Hackman's victims.
Yeah,
her dad is Gary Sinise in a flashback.
Oh,
yeah. How can you this is truly '90s. This was before Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
How can you hire Gary Sinise for just like a 30-second flashback?
Yeah, exactly.
After 1994, you can't.
Yeah.
So
too busy with this band.
They basically get together and they have to. Russell Crowe is a priest who has given up violence, but he used to be a hired gunman.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so Gene Hackman pulls him in because supposedly he either owes him money or he owes him some kind of debt.
Well, that he spends the entire movie trying to get Russell Crowe into this event.
To kill him.
Hmm.
But Russell Crowe won't do it, and finally, you know, like...
Every time he's forced to fight, he winds up winning. But it's one of these really cool things. And Sharon Stone's in it to kill Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio's in it to fuck Sharon Stone.
Well, and kill Gene Hackman.
And kill Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
He wants to prove he's the fastest now. And there's a great scene where Leo talks so much shit.
Oh, dude. We're talking like growing pains, Leo. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's
yeah.
like 14, 15.
Like, nothing's okay. eaten Gilbert Grape yet.
I was going to say, you
know, like, yeah. And do you have Netflix?
I do.
All right, it's on Netflix now. It just hit last week.
Quick and the Dead.
Go and watch Quick and the Dead.
Because I saw it randomly on TV, like, when I was maybe, like, 14, 15.
It is probably the most fun Western. Because a lot of Westerns are long and drawn out and... Yeah. Dark, and this one's very fun and campy, but in a good way.
Can I go on your Western kick for an underrated movie? And I'm not sure if I really consider it underrated. The only reason I say it is because most people that I talk to about it have no idea the movie exists or have any idea what it's about. And it's 3:10 to Yuma.
3:10 to Yuma is great.
That is a great movie.
I mean, like, but everybody who's seen it fucking loves it.
Yeah.
But there are just so many people that are like, hey, have you ever seen 3:10 to Yuma?
A lot of.
It didn't get
exposure.
Enough press.
I didn't get any, because, I mean, the
it's
cast
another
is,
great Russell Crowe.
The cast is fucking ridiculous. Russell Crowe is as a very, like, charismatic...
Bad guy.
But he's a bad guy, but he, like, even when you're watching him kill people, you're like, but he might not actually be that bad of a...
Almost then, like an anti-hero.
Christian Bale as a good guy, but with not a whole lot going for him.
Yeah, a good guy who nothing seems to go right.
And he didn't have to do a crazy body transition either.
Yeah.
And then the guy from...
Ben Foster was the other bad guy.
Yeah, he's kind of the true bad guy in the movie. But yeah, he was the dude who ate raw meat in 30 Days a Night. And
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird that's how I remember him. But that movie was freaking phenomenal. If we're talking about underrated Westerns. If you haven't seen it,
definitely.
Anybody who's seen it loves it.
Yeah.
Anybody who hasn't seen it needs to see it because they will love it.
Yeah, it was the best Western made, like, this decade.
I don't have any evidence to prove you wrong, so we'll go with that.
Yeah.
We don't fact check either. So I'm just going to say that's right.
There haven't been many. It's that and Cowboys and Aliens. So,
oddly enjoyed that movie.
I did too.
I'm not going to say it's underrated.
Did you ever see Cowboys and Aliens?
I have not, dude.
With Harrison Ford and...
I've heard it's pretty good.
With Harrison Ford and Craig...
With Craig? Daniel Craig.
I just started calling him either Goldeneye or Craig. But, no, that movie is actually, I mean, right. People got pretty viscerally killed in that movie.
Yeah,
I was actually surprised.
I have nothing bad to say about Quick and the Dead. It's funny. It's got a good enough action in it. There's a lot of cheesy spots in it, but
the
Sam
cheesiest Lane, spot is one of the best spots.
Yeah,
where
and I can't
Gene
say
Hackman
it
because... Gets...
Oh, yeah, I guess we... Yeah,
no,
guess
that's not sad.
Yeah.
No, that's not sad.
Because Steve...
Because you'll see it and you'll instantly go, this is what I've been waiting for 2.5 or not even, it's like 2 hours. But when you see it, you'll go, that is cheesy as shit, and I love it.
One of us will get a phone call.
One of us.
All right, so what's the next genre you guys want to do?
I don't know, pick one.
Fuck. All right, comic book movies.
I've been drinking, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say...
I don't remember what you said anyway. What was your Western?
Comic book... Comic book from like 1999?
No, just in general.
I was gonna say most of them sucked till like 2000.
We're gonna go way back in the day.
Okay. So one of them, I'm only considering it underrated because I know it didn't do well at the box office. And
okay.
The people, almost in the same sense as 3:10 to Yuma. People I know who saw it loved it. People who haven't seen it never heard it came out. And that was Dredd, the most recent Judge Dredd movie.
I have never seen that.
It's fucking great.
I don't even think I know much about the character Dredd.
Basically, it's
he's a judge.
It's a futuristic world where police are replaced as judges. They're allowed to give sentencing on spot. Like,
holy
there's no
shit.
Jury anymore.
So efficient.
Yeah, it would be.
It's awesome.
And so the idea is he takes this new recruit, this chick who is also psychic.
Oh, of course.
And it's a new brand of like they don't know much about psychics. Like, she's the most powerful one they've ever come across.
So it's like
she's like Tom Cruise.
Kind of.
Or Looper.
So they go, and the idea is they go to handle a complaint at a... It's basically a super apartment. Like, it's a building that's like 100 stories tall, but it's all housing.
Hmm.
And it's where they're housing all the people they can fit in the city. Because, like, it's essentially the... Like, it's not post-apocalyptic, but it's like we've killed a lot of resources, so
dystopian.
People moved into the cities. It's dystopian. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they move into this... They go into this apartment building, and someone gets murdered... And they have to investigate it. And all the meanwhile, it's like, they come to find out the whole building is run by this one super gang.
Huh.
And they lock the building down. So it's just Judge Dredd and his trainee stuck in this building on her first day. And they basically just go through fighting their way to the top of the apartment complex, just killing everyone in their way.
So it's like Die Hard in reverse order.
Very much so. And it's awesome.
Which, although, which you need to check out our Christmas episode, because that is going to be the arguable best Christmas movie. Which
there's no argument. It's Die Hard.
Yeah. Followed by the It's Always Sunny Christmas special, which isn't a movie, but it's also fantastic.
That's true.
It might get an honorable mention.
And then...
Are we giving, like, satires or homages of comic book movies qualify as over or underrated?
Yeah, what do you got in mind?
Chainsaw and the Bob Strike Back?
No, that doesn't count. That's a movie about going to find a comic
book. Is that underrated? Because that's a great movie.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, like, every movie we consider underrated, we think is a great movie.
Would you fuck me? Oh, that's not that movie.
No, that's
what I fuck me. But anyway.
The other that's comic books. Book movie I had in mind, I'm actually pairing two of them together, and just to lump them as one.
Okay.
Hellboy 1 and 2.
Hellboy
2 was great. Was a great movie. Hellboy 1 wasn't that good.
Can't lump them together.
But
Hellboy 2 was.
I mean, Hellboy 2 is so good.
But you have to watch Hellboy 1, so I'll allow it in order to really like.
Yeah.
Not even really.
No, you could watch Hellboy 2 by itself.
Okay.
So the thing is, they took the tried and true method of let's add elves and shit, which weren't anywhere in number one. Let's be honest, it was like random fly things. Yeah. But, they went full on Lord of the Rings for the second one and just rode that shit out.
They actually let Guillermo del Toro do what does.
I mean, it was straight up like watching Pan's Labyrinth.
Pan's Labyrinth. I was about to say that.
Yeah.
No, it's.
I wasn't sure.
Any movie that you expand the universe on, it like is usually better than the first one.
Yeah,
you have to be so strict and just kind of get the story out.
The demons with the eyes on their hands and stuff like that.
I'd love to see them actually make a third Hellboy, since they kind of half set up for one, but then
they figured out all the humor and everything, like everything in the second.
I will take Hellboy one off the list.
Hellboy one was great for just that one cigar scene.
Yeah,
where Hellboy's got the cigar and he tries to light it with a lighter.
Jeffrey Tambor is like, "What the hell?"
Tambor's like, "What are you doing? You can't use a lighter.
You're gonna use a wood match. Preserve the
second
flavor."
One's good for all the times they sing. Who am I thinking of? White people love him. Over 50 white people love this person. Barry Manilow. They're singing Barry Manilow.
Okay, yeah. So we'll take Hellboy 1 off the list.
It's Hellboy 2.
And Hellboy 2 is underrated.
Hellboy 2 is incredibly underrated. Because that is a very legitimate underrated movie. Because most people that aren't into comic book movies and didn't already know who Hellboy was wouldn't watch it anyway. Because they'd be like, it just doesn't look like it appeals to me.
It was nerdy as hell. Yeah, I liked it.
Alright, I've got one listed under drama, and it's my, I guess it's a drama, but it's my retaliation to Fight Club. Okay. If people ask me why I don't like Fight Club, I tell them to watch this movie instead.
Memento?
No.
Memento's a great movie.
Memento's great, but everybody thinks Memento's great, so it's not underrated.
Yeah, true.
It's Green Street Hooligans.
That was on.
That was my one.
I don't even think that's a drama. I think they just recorded a bunch of British people going around.
I don't
the
know
shit
what
each other
because it's not action packed enough to be an action movie.
I was gonna say they probably just followed some people around with a GoPro. Yeah.
that's why I just picked drama. I figured that's the only one that could.
It was like
and then what happened was they
it was World Star British people. That's all it was.
and then they went back and filmed like a pre and a post with Elijah Wood and just like ta-da.
Yeah, they just threw in random shots of him, some soccer games, and some World Star clips.
For anybody who doesn't know the story, Elijah Wood's at Harvard. He's a journalism major. He gets kicked out because his roommate frames him for having coke, which was actually the roommate's coke, but he put it in Elijah Wood's stuff. Pays him $10,000 to keep quiet. Elijah Wood goes to see his sister, who married a dude in England.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And is living in London. Visits him, meets the husband's younger brother,
who's played by Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay, there you go. Meets him and gets brought into kind of like an underworld of soccer team gangs.
People that go around and when their team loses or wins, beats the shit out of everybody.
Yeah, they go to all of the team's games and basically cause shit.
Yeah, they cause shit to make the other team look bad, whether it be fighting or you know whatever. So he gets pulled into this whole underground organization with him and becomes like a pretty like. After some shit happens, becomes like actually a pretty big member of this, the GSE, the Green Street Elite.
Yep.
Which is where Green Street Hooligans comes from. And honestly, I fucking love that damn movie.
Yeah. Yep.
That movie's great.
It's fantastic.
It's other than his silent role in Sin City. I think it's one of Elijah Wood's best movies.
Well, I was gonna say, if you look at an actor that looks like they do cocaine, it's probably Elijah Wood. How big his eyes are.
You can only pretend to be a short hobbit for so long before you start going to a college.
Well, I don't know. So he had that gig, and he probably could have stretched it for quite a while longer. Because, I mean, that was like 10 years just to get 3 movies out.
True. Yeah. But, true. No, like, it's such a good movie, and it's... The reason I compare it to Fight Club is like it is a whole lot of like street fighting kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's not nearly as pretentious. It's like you watch that going like that's how those people are. That's
yeah,
it's a like, normal way to get into
that's
that
how
stuff.
That fight happens.
It's
you
a
know?
Documentary mixed with clips from Live Leak.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
And I don't know, like maybe people in England don't actually feel that way about the movie. Maybe they think it's incredibly pretentious.
Oh, let's be honest, their opinions don't matter.
They don't. Yeah. Because I mean, do radio waves even get there? Can
they don't reach across the pond.
across the pond in?
By the way, they wouldn't even have the power outlet to plug the iPod into to charge this to listen to this podcast.
Oh, they'd have to go buy an adapter. That's terrible. And they wouldn't understand our non-Cockney slang anyway.
Yeah. So we're all agreeing Green Street Hooligans is great.
Green Street Hooligans, like, honestly, that is probably the best underrated that we've talked about. That and Airheads to me, because
yeah.
That like that one, unless we've shown people, they haven't known about the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a movie that needs to be passed around.
Well, just be like, I don't know, like, who showed it to, I think it was with Brandon that showed it to
Brandon
us.
Brandon showed
our buddy
it to
Brandon
us.
Brandon in college showed it to us. Literally, everybody I've asked, unless I've showed it to them, they've never seen it.
I've gone to college football games dressed up like that group.
Yeah.
And sang some of the songs from it. Nobody knew what the fuck we were talking about. Yeah, but it was awesome. We tried to get into fights with the other fans, and they're just like, who are these guys?
All right, so now I'm going to move on to Thriller, because it's another one that's just one in the category.
Absolutely.
All right, this is a remake. Came out a few years back.
Okay.
Starring... Oh, God, I had his name and just lost it. He was in Fast and Furious.
Paul Walker.
Yeah.
Oh, Running Scared.
Oh, I was just
scared.
Guessing.
It's Running Scared.
Running Scared.
Running Scared's a fucking great movie.
That's the Thriller I'm picking, yeah. Have you seen it, Steve?
Oh, I refuse to see anything with Paul Walker in
dude,
it.
Dude, this was so worth it.
Is it that... Okay.
So worth
okay.
it. It's basically, here's the premise. Paul Walker,
but it's not Paul Walker as Paul Walker. Like, you don't watch the movie and go, great, it's Paul Walker being a douche.
Yeah.
But you actually like
it. So he doesn't have that 3-day thing that he's always got going on his face?
He does, but he's an undercover cop, so it makes sense.
Oh, so he's really branching out.
Yeah. I know. When I first saw it, I go, he's going to be an undercover cop.
Literally, everything you just said, Steve and I have laughed about watching that trailer going, wow, he's really working hard on this one.
Yeah,
so look at the acting chops on this dude.
Good to know he left a legacy.
So, yeah, so
of versatility.
So here's the premise of Running Scared. Paul Walker is in deep with a criminal organization as an undercover cop.
Also different from what he usually is.
Nobody is fast or furious in this movie.
But The Rock probably has a bit part.
Quit acting like you've seen this movie.
Go ahead.
So... they go to a drug deal gone bad.
Oh, come on. This is basically like every fucking movie he's ever done.
I know, but this is the best one of these movies he's ever done.
I was going
to
say.
Just give me a second to say they all set up the same, okay?
That was it. Okay. You can name any like 5 actors and say and give that exact beginning and then be like, oh, okay, well, it's like every fucking other movie.
So, drug
it's like Jason Statham is driving a car.
Oh, God damn it!
And you'd be like, oh, it's like every other state in the movie I've ever fucking seen.
All right. So, drug deal gone bad.
Yep.
They get into a big shootout. His best friend gives him a snub-nosed revolver. And the snub-nosed revolver is very important. It's got like a pearl handle. It's like custom made.
Okay.
He says, get rid of it. Well, Paul Walker, being an undercover cop, actually has like a secret section of his chimney hollowed out. He's got all these guns and evidence and all kinds of stuff hidden away to try and get this gang put away.
Okay.
Well, his son gets picked on by this guy, and he breaks into Paul Walker's chimney and steals this revolver and goes out after this kid.
Okay.
And so this kid winds up shooting somebody and then running off into the city. Paul Walker's got to try and track down this gun because it's supposed to be destroyed, but now it's being used all over town and all kinds of other things. Like, it keeps getting passed around to different people.
Huh.
And so he's afraid his cover's blown. He's got to try and stop this gang from pulling off something crazy. He's got to try and find his son who's now missing. All kinds of stories going on. There's a spot where like people who kiddie children and form like and like film kiddie porn, all kinds of other stuff going on.
Yeah.
There's just a bunch of different stories. It's a bunch
of different shit, a little bit darker than what he's usually into. Where it's like that, where like not like the Fast and the Furious, like, oh, it's a dark underground, but everything's bright and cheery.
I was gonna say, you said it has a lot of different plots, so it's not like Pulp Fiction with Ludacris.
No.
Okay. I would watch that fucking movie too.
That's fucking great. But yeah, no, Running Scared, it's great.
It was completely unexpected too. Because honestly, I watched it because I had nothing better to do, and I was like, "Eh, Paul Walker, eh, whatever."
He's a pretty solid C-list guy in A-list movies.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking B plus A minus.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, for this movie,
good enough.
He's a B plus actor in an A minus movie.
Huh. He's.
Or are you just saying in general, Running Scared?
I'm just saying I give that movie a B plus, possibly A minus.
Okay, yeah, that's
like,
fair.
It's like it genuinely surprised me, and once I got over that shock, I was like, it's still a pretty good movie.
So, all right, we're gonna move on to sci-fi, the first one on this list. I know Tony agrees with me on. I'm interested to hear what you think.
Okay,
the new Godzilla.
Overrated or underrated?
I think it's underrated.
I think it's underrated because most people that watch it are just fucking like, oh, there's just too much story and development. And Steve and I just left the movie going, that's like every Godzilla movie I've ever fucking seen. There's like one scene in the beginning with action, and then there's a big fucking climactic fight in the end. And then in the middle, it's just a bunch of people talking about the shit that's happening. And as long as you go into it with that, and Bryan Cranston actually dies...
Yeah, people were pissed that Bryan Cranston died.
I was like, I don't know. Like, I like beefed up Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Like the guy, like the fucking main character from Kick-Ass, turned into a man and put on like 50 pounds of fucking muscle for this movie.
See, I'll give you that because it was a perfect popcorn movie.
Yes, that's what we're getting at.
I turned my brain off. Like, I literally can't remember most of the shit that happened in the movie because I just remember the giant ass.
It's so a Godzilla movie.
He watched it first and texted me, look, because I was literally seen it the next day, and he said, you still want to see Godzilla? I said, yeah, I am. He said, all right. Treat it as a traditional Godzilla movie.
Yep.
And expect nothing else, and you'll be fucking entertained out of your mind.
I just remember the guy from Letters from Iwo Jima.
Yep.
And his special moment where he goes, Godzilla.
Godzilla.
It was so brilliantly racist that it just made the whole movie.
No, just like, I don't know, but like we're saying, like if you go in just expecting like a popcorn movie, just I want to be entertained.
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Like, but people that when you say just entertain me, they expect to just like a fucking knockdown.
The problem is, you can't make a 2-hour movie about giant things fighting each other. You got to put some shit in between.
Well, and they actually wrote a decent freaking story.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like Godzilla,
it made enough sense. Yeah, and then people.
It made enough. It doesn't have to make perfect sense.
Here's what bothered me because like there was a counter on. I think it was either CinemaSins or it was on like. Screen Junkies. It's one of those two.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a thing where it's like all like 13 minutes of Godzilla's on screen appearance. And they cut out all the stuff that was like, here's the TV footage of him fighting the monster. Here's this footage of him fighting the monster. I'm like, that counts. Like that was meant to be like,
yeah,
you got an actor who
fucking, the sail coming out of the water and shit like that.
It's like you hired a director who made the movie Monsters, which was like a really cool monster movie on his laptop for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And he came with all these cool ways to film Godzilla without spending the studio's money.
If you showed it every 5 minutes, it would take away from it.
Yeah.
But that made sense.
That's the thing. Did you ever see a Europa Report?
No.
Okay. I was just telling him about it.
But I have seen the anime Big O, which I keep thinking about.
No, we just...
That's Pacific Rim.
Yeah. Good Charlie Day.
Well, we have... Damn it. You spoiled one of my two.
Is Pacific Rim one of them?
Oh, yes.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Pacific Rim is a great movie because it knows exactly what it is.
Yes!
It's like the director's, let's have big fucking robots fight.
You know who that director is?
No.
Guillermo del Toro, who did Hellboy 1 and 2. I love Guillermo del Toro.
And Charlie Day was in it. That was the best part. Yeah.
Charlie Day
Why do you think Ron Perlman was in it?
Yeah, that makes sense now.
All right, we'll get to Pacific Rim.
But we just saw Interstellar, and I completely... Oh, God, you killed me. What were we talking about?
Godzilla.
We're talking about Godzilla, and then we started talking about... Oh, Europa Report.
Oh, okay.
Europa Report is this movie where they all go to, like, there's a first man mission to the planet Europa, orbits Jupiter, blah, blah, blah.
Who was in this?
Actually, it had a couple of decent people. Did you ever see Elysium?
Yeah.
Krueger?
Okay, yeah.
Was
yeah.
in it. I want to say the scientist from Avengers, the older guy.
Okay.
That's taken over.
Yep, I get who
it is. In it. There's one other person that I can't put my finger... Oh, I mean, there are a bunch of people, but there's one person I can't put my finger on that I know she's a bigger actress.
Yeah.
It's like a six-man mission to Europa.
Okay.
They land on this ice planet, and all this shit happens. So they're looking for life, and, like, you know, it's kind of like a Alien-esque, like, sci-fi, almost horror movie.
Okay.
Because shit starts happening, like, they drop a probe down, and something happens, and the probe gets lost into the water.
Yep.
And then, like, Krueger dies before they even get there from some, like, mishap on a spacewalk, and, mm-hmm. you know, this girl does a walk out on the ice, and shit happens, and she dies, and all this. But there's no, like, you do not see any alien until literally the last, like, 45 seconds of the movie.
That's awesome.
And it's just like this entire suspense.
Because a lot of people, because it's complete, movies screw that up.
Well, the entire movie's played as a conglomerate of the recordings of the trip.
Yeah.
And then the commentary of the people who are at Mission Control.
Okay.
So it's already happened, and you're basically watching what happened.
Yeah.
And so, like, it comes to this climactic moment at the end where you see this thing, and then, like, there's, like, a little bit of commentary from... the guy who played Daytona in Balls of Fury.
Oh,
he was a scientist.
I know what you're talking about.
He was a scientist in the movie.
Yeah,
and it works perfectly, and that's kind of the way the Godzilla movies are. Like you can give a little hint at the beginning.
Yep.
But then it leads up to this climactic moment at the end. If you just had him like walking around the whole fucking movie, then it's
exactly.
Just, that it,
I think the other problem with Godzilla is people wanted. I kept hearing people say. Like, Heisenberg versus Godzilla, like, Bryan Cranston was not going to play Heisenberg in that movie.
No, like, Bryan Cranston, like, his role was about pretty much the antithesis of Heisenberg.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would have made, I think that would have made people even more upset if he was in the whole movie
yeah.
as this, like, nerdy scientist who yeah. wasn't the one who knocks. You know what I mean? Like,
well, where was that guy from the producers? Because he made the first one pretty good. I'm just kidding. It was a remake anyway.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about? Matthew Broderick.
Why did he not make one?
That was
like,
a fucking terrible movie.
Second cameo.
Oh, right?
God damn.
That just got smashed.
Oh, actually, they should have killed Matthew Broderick in that movie. That would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been.
He should have been. He should have been a fucking reporter.
Almost, yeah.
With his shitty blonde girlfriend.
That was
from
a
movie.
Shit movie.
All right. Our next sci-fi movie. Have you guys ever seen Serenity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it, Tony?
Yeah, I've seen Serenity.
Yeah, the Firefly movie.
Dude, trust me, I watched. Like, I literally have just watched like almost the entire series of Firefly.
Yeah, fucking Firefly was the greatest show to never last.
Yeah,
and Serenity was a great like one-off for the series.
Oh, what's his name? Steve the Pirate.
Yeah, Alan Tudyk is the pilot.
Tudyk was just in a movie I saw, Big Hero 6, which
really,
if you haven't seen, is basically Pixar's. Well, it's owned by Disney, so it's like another Avengers, but it's like Pixar's Avengers. It's like a kid-friendly Avengers movie, and it's freaking okay. awesome. And Tunic is the bad guy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He's been the bad guy, and that'll make his third Disney bad guy appearance.
I mean, he's got a great voice for it, because it's not super threatening.
He was King Candy. He was...
was he really?
Yeah. He was the Duke of Weaseltown in Frozen, and now he's in Big Hero 6.
Oh, my God. He was. I didn't even know that before.
Talk about peeking right there.
Yeah. All right, so enough said about Serenity. Fucking go see it. It's on Netflix.
Go see it. Go watch it.
It's perfect sci-fi.
It's pretty like,
go watch it was, Serenity. Go watch.
It's got Nathan Fillion.
It was the best sci-fi movie to come out until Guardians of the Galaxy.
And Nathan Fillion can also sing.
Well, Guardians of the Galaxy is like the next.
Captain Hammer? The hammer's
I was
my
say,
penis.
Yeah, the hammer is his penis.
I don't know. Like, yeah, you say it's the best until Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, Guardians of the Galaxy is, like, my favorite sci-fi
that
movie.
That was a fantastic
It was my
movie.
Favorite sci-fi movie since, like, I watched A New Hope for the first fucking time. Like,
yeah.
Like, that, it had, like, everything you wanted, like, the sci-fi shit.
I think every straight man would fuck Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt.
Like, you can understand that a dude is good looking and still be straight.
Exactly.
All right. So, all right.
No,
so
before you move on from sci-fi.
Okay. I got one more sci-fi, but go ahead.
I was going to go Pacific Rim.
We got to keep on Pacific Rim.
Oh, my God. Because, like, you made me watch it. Because I hadn't gotten around to seeing it. I kind of wanted to, but I came down to visit you in Louisville, and you're like, dude, it was May the 4th. Because we were on a Star Wars May the 4th Be With You night. Just watching every Star Wars movie. Well,
we watched it in machete order.
In machete order.
Do you know about machete order?
Like the movies machete?
No. The machete way to watch Star Wars.
I do not.
Okay, so you watch A New Hope and then Empire. And then you watch Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith as a flashback. And then you end on Jedi.
Then you watch Jedi.
So you completely cut out Phantom Menace. Which gets rid of almost all of your Jar Jar.
It gets rid of the midichlorian bullshit.
It's a much needed sacrifice.
You have to.
Can you watch just the parts with Liam Neeson?
No, because then you also have Jar Jar.
Well, I understand.
See, the problem is you have Jar Jar and then midichlorians in Episode 1, but you also have the best villain, Darth Maul, Liam Neeson.
Which we got into in our previous episode. I got 99 problems, but a Sith ain't one. So,
The Machete Order, we watched that, and then you were like, we were eating pizza, and you were like, hey, you have to watch Pacific Rim. Like, we're going to do it.
It's great.
So, sits me down, and I watch it, and, I mean, I didn't expect to hate it. I mean, I fucking love sci-fi movies. Yeah. But I just sit there and go, why the fuck is nobody talking about this as, like, a good movie?
You imagine, like, a group of people in a room, and one guy keeps going, well, what if we add this plot to it, and the director goes, oh, no, it's literally just fucking giant robots fighting aliens. We're not going to go anywhere past that point. No. That's
and the aliens and the aliens all have, but like the hive mind thing, I like that.
Yeah.
we'll go with that.
All right, so it's Guillermo del Toro, who is known more for his practical effects.
Yeah.
Like Pan's Labyrinth is almost all practical.
Yeah.
It's crazy CGI. Awesome.
Well, I mean, it was in a time before really
it's a movie
CGI
that was fully realized. It knew exactly what it was.
Pan's Labyrinth is great.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, Pacific Rim, there's one spot where they're fighting in Tokyo, and, like, the robot's arm goes through a building and then hits one of those little desktop little things with the balls.
Yep.
And all back and forth. That's not CGI.
That is 100%.
They built a robot arm
and
a whole bunch of office walls and had it and filmed it going
through.
Well,
it's Japan. What's to say that wasn't there to begin with?
It's true. but that's what I'm saying is, like, there's all this little crazy detail. There's that, and then, like,
you're not gonna build a really expensive building when Godzilla's just gonna smash it anyway.
And then, like, all of the Jaeger cockpits weren't green screen. They were
completely,
fully functional cockpits.
Completely designed and modeled.
That they were, like,
but
throwing
really,
water
it's not that
and stuff
impressive when you think about how many Gundams are flying around Japan every day.
Like, to be fair, if the Gundam army of Japan ever attacked the United States, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
We would have to hope those aliens
that's true.
Ever came back.
We would need shit up.
Yeah, that Scythe is the American gun Scythe.
Yeah.
Is the American Gundam.
Did we just go Gundam Wing?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, hell
yeah. That's how I learned what
dude,
a coup
Wing
d'etat
Zero
was
my shit.
That's how I learned what a coup d'etat was. Because I kept saying it. I fucking Googled it before Google was a thing. I had to, like, dogpile it. Pacific, like the cockpits they did, like, when they did, like, when one of the cockpits is, like, getting filled up with water and shit.
Yeah.
Like, that, they actually did that to the actors on set. They filled the cockpit up with water and filmed them doing this stuff.
That's awesome.
too much time has passed. I was going to play the Gundam Wing theme song. But, all right.
Oh, God.
We'll do a whole episode on Gundam.
You know what's an underrated movie? Endless Waltz.
Yeah, right?
Endless Waltz is fucking awesome.
So bad.
I'd love to tell people to see that, but, God, I don't even know how you would find that anymore.
We should just review a whole season of Big O.
There's only two, I think.
Is there? I didn't know.
Gundam Wing only had two.
Okay. So
there's 100 spinoffs.
I have one more sci-fi one, and if you guys want to shoot it down, go ahead.
Sure.
Actually, Gundam Wing was a spinoff, but...
No.
Yeah. Cool. Well, it was a sequel to
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so my last sci-fi
one... Hold on. What about Zoids?
Is that the one with, like, the ligers and shit? Yeah. That show is fucking awesome! Every time I bring that up, nobody knows that's what I'm talking about. There was the green one, the blue one.
The Liger Zero. No, the Liger Zero was white.
Oh, fuck. That's what I thought it was.
So it was Liger Zero. Panzer was the green one. That was the
orange one.
Which one had
the... orange one was the Schneider with all the blades.
The cannon. Which one had the cannon?
That was the Panzer. That was the green one.
Yeah, that was fucking sweet.
And then you had the blue one, which was the Jaeger.
Sweet. Everybody's
to bring us full circle back to Pacific Rim.
Well, okay, we'll have to have Dilbert back on, and we'll have a Toonami special.
Toonami special is going to be great.
Definitely.
Toonami Tuesday.
I'm going to have to...
I'm up, dude. I'm up for it.
Now, Dante actually would show up for that. We started bringing in some Dragon Ball Z and...
Classic, not the remake where they cut out like eight of the episodes where it took Goku to get to Namek.
We just need to move on. This is we've lost 90% of the 20 people that listen to this already.
All right, so the last sci-fi movie I have, which feel free to shoot it down. I love this movie for everything that it is, and that's Lockout. Have you guys ever seen Lockout? Came out maybe 2 years ago.
Who's in that?
It stars Gerard Butler.
I love Gerard Butler.
Oh, prison in space.
The prison in space, not Gerard Butler. Guy Pearce.
The Punisher.
It stars Guy Pearce.
Yeah.
Okay, so it stars Guy Pearce, the daughter from Taken, who gets taken.
Yeah.
Oh.
It stars her, the guy from Armageddon, who's like...
Harry Stamper?
The guy from Armageddon, who's like, American ship, Chinese ship, all parts made in Taiwan.
The Russian.
Yeah. Him and a few other random people. One guy who's actually the star of the show Misfits on Hulu, which is a British TV show. Great show. It's how Heroes should have been. Like, did you ever watch Heroes and get super disappointed?
Yeah.
Then watch Misfits on Hulu.
You don't have to add that second part. Did you ever watch Heroes and then everybody instantly gets disappointed?
Yeah. So instead watch Misfits on Hulu, and it's fucking great.
Huh.
God, you just came here with a pen and paper, dude, because you just have like a Netflix.
I really do.
You have a Netflix queue for the next month.
We'll give you a take-home sheet.
I have to finish.
I should start posting that on my Twitter.
So the premise of Lockout is Guy Pearce is your quintessential 80s action star. Like, it's nothing but one-liners. He smokes cigarettes. He drinks all the time.
Perfect.
Okay.
He's Duke Nukem.
So the girl from Taken goes up to this space station that's a prison and gets taken.
Oh.
Because that's what she's good at.
Okay, talk about getting typecast.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
you look like you could get...
He's got her niche.
You're kidnapped.
In this future, she is the president's daughter.
Huh.
Now, Guy Pearce...
Hey, Mason's really doing well for himself in the future.
So
was Zeus.
And he was a fucking Jedi. Yeah. And Aslan, he was fucking Jesus.
God, he just hit the whole spectrum. So Guy Pearce is a CIA agent who they believe is a traitor. So they're going to imprison him on this asteroid. And they say, well, the president's daughter is up there and we need to extract her. And you're the only one who can do it. That's the hokiest part of this whole thing. That, and I will admit, when you first start the movie, there's an action scene in the beginning that looks like it takes place on a PlayStation 2. I'm pretty sure it was added after the fact. And
someone said we need something to set this up. Yeah.
So that part's bad, but all the rest of the graphics are great. And the idea is it's him having to infiltrate this space station,
a prison,
and rescue her. And he gets to her pretty quickly. So it's right off the bat he gets to her and he's with her. There's a lot of comic relief moments. There's a lot of one-liners, and then shit goes down, and they both have to fight their way out, and it works. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hokey stuff in it. It's pretty dumb. But the second you are on board so it's a prison in space that they have to take over, then you really can't be that nitpicky. You know what I mean?
That's true.
But to be fair,
you know what you're getting into.
Just assimilate, dude.
But here's the thing about that, though, is as absurd as a premise as that is, the movie fully understood that's what its premise was.
That's good.
And approach it in a way where it's like, yeah, we're going to be funny about this because this is ridiculous. Like, we can't make a serious movie about this. So they approached it. They had fun with it. It's my favorite Guy Pearce role ever.
Can I, like...
Go ahead.
I'm gonna go back to the action. I have one to add. And anybody... It's like Green Street Hooligans or...
Yeah.
Anybody's ever seen it's fucking loved it. But I hang around people that have like-minded movie tastes. So, all my friends have seen it. But
okay.
But when I talk to other people about it, not so much. And it's an Arnold movie.
Okay.
tell me what Arnold Schwarzenegger movie you think I'm talking about.
What years?
Well, hold on, hold on. I'm going to try and dissect Tony's brain here.
Is it Last Action Hero?
Because it's not...
No.
Because it's also not Commando. Everybody's
no, Commando's a terribly bad movie.
Is it the one where he fights the devil?
No, so it's Sixth Day?
No, Sixth Day is the one where he fights clones. End of Days is where he fights
End the devil. End of Days.
That was the one I was thinking of when he said that.
Yeah.
No, it's not of an End of
Days. All right, so it's not either of those two. It's got to be...
Twins?
Total Recall?
It's not Total Recall or Twins. But because Twins is not an underrated movie. Twins is a great movie.
Yeah. You even say Jack. I'm kicking you off this podcast. Or Junior. Yeah. Junior. Jack is the Robin Williams
Junior.
Over
age. Yeah, it's Junior. But no, it's not Junior. I neglect to say it because I don't really feel like it's an underrated movie. It's just everybody that I talk to that's not like an action fan doesn't know about it or hasn't seen it as True Lies.
Oh, fuck. True Lies is one of the greatest movies ever made.
I mean, it is James Cameron at his absolute finest. But, like, to me, that movie is, like, if you're an action fan, if you like action movies, if you like Arnold at all, like, if you watch Terminator 2 and...
Wait, which Arnold in that movie? Because you've got Schwarzenegger and Tom...
Both?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Because Tom Arnold's the perfect counterpoint to
He is the best counter to Schwarzenegger.
Because he's kind of the short, fat, quick-witted, like, American to the Swiss... No, well, what is he actually?
Austrian.
Austrian, like, muscle-bound, like, physically superior dude. So it's like this great give and take that they have. But that movie, to me, is underrated for anybody who's not art. Like, if you haven't seen it, it's underrated because it's a movie that you absolutely must fucking see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even in the 90s, like, it's from the 90s, so it has shit like tape players and stuff, but it's still relevant as a movie.
As young Elijah Dushku.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, not Pullman, Paxton. Not Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton's in
Bill
the
Paxton, movie. Yeah, he's a goddamn used car salesman.
I always get those mixed up, and I don't know why, because Bill Pullman saved the planet, Bill Paxton fought Twisters.
By the way, the other day...
that's how I do it.
By the way, the other day I cracked one of their ending jokes on this video, and then next week we're going to play everyone's favorite game, Bill Pullman or Wesley Snipes. I always get those two mixed up.
Nice. But True Lies for me is an underrated movie. It's one of those great action movies that... It is super action-y.
It's my favorite Jamie Lee Curtis movie. And that's saying something because I've seen Halloween.
Yeah, and Halloween's a great movie. And Jamie Lee Curtis.
I like her in Trading Places.
Trading Places. She gets topless in Trading Places.
Oh, jeez.
Feeling good, Lewis?
All right, I'll have to withhold saying it's my favorite Jamie Lee Curtis because the original Trading Places is absolutely phenomenal.
Hell yeah.
Wake up, wake up, wake
up. Looks like I lost the bet. $1.
That is great.
But that movie as a whole is freaking amazing. Tom Arnold's at his comedic best. Arnold Schwarzenegger is at his comedic best, which isn't tremendously much, but it is.
Yeah.
It is when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's terrible. It's almost as good as him in Turbo in Jingle All the Way.
When he was Turbo Man?
Yeah. Which is honestly probably which is probably one of my third favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah. That's up there.
Oh, him and what's his name from SNL? The neighbor who wanted to bang Schwarzenegger.
Phil Hartman.
That was the first law he passed when he became governor of California. If he wants to stay inside and watch my movie, all the way.
All right,
and Sinbad. I mean,
all right. I've got one more category to go through, and then if you guys have anything else to add, we can go through that.
Go for it.
All right, so horror is the last genre I have. Yeah, no, there's
most horror movies.
I know.
Oh no, The first one I know it's on your list. It's Cabin in the Woods.
I don't count that as horror.
I don't like
really
that
don't.
Movie.
Satire of horror is not horror.
Here's the thing:
it's more satire than horror.
But we don't have a satire.
I love Cabin in the Woods.
Everything that movie made fun of is everything I hate about horror movies. So just bringing it up for another 2.5 hours just pissed me off more.
But I just enjoyed how like. Honestly, the best moment for me when I look back is how Helmsworth dies.
See,
to save the world.
See, my favorite moment is when the Harbinger, the guy at the gas station, calls the home office, and they just keep laughing at him over the phone.
Still on speaker.
My horror movie is, what is it, Dale and Tucker.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil. That movie's fantastic.
That is a Netflix cult classic that I tell everybody about. They're like, hey, do you know a good movie? Anything good to watch on Netflix? Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
The best spot is when they are under the impression that these kids have come to their property to commit suicide.
And every time something happens, the dick kid gets pulled in the wood chipper and he's trying to pull him out. The kids just see this guy with the wood chipper with the dude's legs.
Like the one guy goes running headfirst into the spear. The one kid shoots himself in the head. Like,
oh, that's right.
Every kid kills themselves. It's so goddamn funny.
That movie is... Okay, that's definitely going on the end.
That was on my list.
That's a Netflix gem. Fantastic. I tell people about that.
Especially
all the time.
Just like even just the stuff taken out of, like, I love how they make it so.
And you also can see the pirate.
See the pirate. Yeah. Alan Tudyk. Yeah. I love the spots where it's supposed to be taken out of context, but it's like, hey, we've got your friend. Come and get her. And
they're like, oh my god.
Or like they're listening and it's like, and he's talking about playing her in like Trivial Pursuit and he's kicking her ass at Trivial Pursuit and he's like, let's get back early so I can finish her off.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. No, I see what you're saying about Cabin in the Woods. But for me, like, it was such a weirdly like serious story, but also like they took a serious story and said, how can we make this as like funny as possible? Like the back and forth between the dude from Billy Madison and the father from Step Brothers,
yeah,
is that's gold. Like the merman thing when it's the like, merman, zombie rednecks wins, guys. And it's like I know you wanted merman. I just once
he was holding the damn shell.
He was holding the damn cock.
He's like, it was like taking a college level class with, like, you know how you hate everything about this?
Oh,
I'm gonna
yeah.
talk to you about it for 2.5 hours.
No, I totally get that.
Yeah,
I totally do.
I hate a lot of horror movies because it falls the same shit.
Well, no, I agree.
That's why the two that I picked, because Cabin in the Woods wasn't one of them, the two that I picked don't fit most.
Okay,
horror movie
what are the two you got?
Okay,
I need to know.
Oculus, one that just came out.
Okay, yeah.
Now, here's the reason for that. Okay, it's PG-13.
Yeah.
And produced by WWE Films. Based on that note alone, it should be a terrible movie.
That's very true.
Based on that note alone.
It has the credentials for complete failure.
Okay.
Does it star Kane?
No, it does not star any wrestler whatsoever. China. Okay. It's a mostly unknown cast.
Yeah.
Which is always great for a horror movie.
Yeah, you don't want known people because then...
And so the concept is there's this mirror that has either driven people to kill people or driven people to kill themselves over the course of like 60 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
And it killed these two people's parents. And this girl has done a ton of research on it. Her brother just gets out of the insane asylum and she's stolen this mirror from the auction house she works at and set it up in their old house. And they're supposed to be recording tests on it to show that it is in fact doing these things.
Yeah.
And then they're going to destroy the mirror. But the mirror keeps playing with their minds, and it's the whole movie is a.
Is that the one with the commercial? Like she's trying to bite an apple.
Yes.
And the apple turns into a glass light bulb. Yeah.
The mirror plays with their heads, and the whole movie is just a trip on what is reality, and it works.
Just like Interstellar, man.
Yeah. It.
the fact that the subs in that theater could barely hold the bass that Chris Nolan puts on
it was
on
just
everything.
Shaking the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
What they said is, can your bass handle this? And they said, no, it's impossible. And then Chris Nolan said, nah.
And Chris Nolan's like, fuck
it's
you.
Necessary.
All right, that's getting a high five and a clink for. That's the best joke of the night right there.
So yeah, go see Oculus. It's worth it. And then the other one, because I mentioned another Sam Raimi movie, is I have to mention Drag Me to Hell.
Oh yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you ever see it?
Surprisingly.
I went back and watched it. You and I talked about it a couple months ago, and I went back and watched it.
Yeah, it's Sam Raimi, so it's pretty campy and cheesy, but it works.
But that's horror in a nutshell. It's campy and cheesy, but shit dies.
And it was scary enough to the point where it's like, oh fuck, like some of that shit really creeped me out. But at the same time, it wasn't like so over the top, and it's really hard to make a horror movie these days that isn't like there's something to super make fun about. Like I saw the movie Mama.
Oh yeah.
Mama. And Mama wasn't...
That's all you need to know right there.
Mama wasn't bad. Like, it was super creepy until there's one spot where Mama possessed, like, this guy's sister.
Yeah.
And she looked exactly like that Snickers commercial where the kids are dressed up and, like, the old person, like, you don't have enough Snickers!
Oh, I'll never look at that movie the same again.
Right? Yeah. God. Okay, do you guys have any other...
Can I say my favorite scene from Cabin in the Woods is when everybody's dead except for the girl and they're celebrating because the virgin doesn't have to die.
Yeah.
And they're fucking celebrating, and in the background you see this girl getting her ass beat to within an inch of her life to... My man on the table... Oh, it's a fucking REO Speedwagon. Is playing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're all partying in the
Roll with the Chain. Yeah,
roll
yeah,
with
yeah.
the Chain. Roll with playing. The Chain. Just playing. They're all just like taking shots and drink. I don't know. I love that movie. I love that movie for its like satirical. Like
there's all supposed stuff. To be. Valve was supposed to make a level of Left 4 Dead for Cabin in the Woods.
Oh yeah.
Where you're supposed to start in
That's
the cabin.
That's a good idea.
Well, no, because if you watch Cabin in the Woods again, there's a spot where they go into the facility and there's all the boxes with all the monsters in it.
Yeah.
If you pause at the right time, you can see one with a boomer, a smoker, and like all the other stuff from Left 4 Dead in the box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so it was supposed to be you start in this cabin and you go and
you look... You select the zombies from Left 4 Dead.
That's awesome.
And then you fight your way out and then you find that hatch that leads you into their facility and you have to fight through the facility... And then you get to God, and God kills everybody. Like, that was going to be the level of Left 4 Dead to make with Cabin in the Woods.
It's supposed to be a DLC for Half-Life 3.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Half-Life 3. Yeah. Let's talk about things that aren't happening.
No, I got time for that.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right, you guys got any more underrated or overrated movies?
I touched on a couple of mine.
I mean, we already talked about how we weren't going to talk about Surf Ninjas. So.
No, let's bring it up.
Bring it up.
No, I don't think we need to. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
All right. Yo, Rob Schneider is
it
a
stars Rob Schneider, which is enough for us to not talk about.
All right, well, if we got no more movies about it, I think that's the end of the podcast. Yep. All right, so for everyone here at Three Drink Minimum, I'm Steve Krieger.
Tony Iberson.
I'm Dilbert.
All right, and Dilbert is black. Good night, everybody.
I'm black.